Also, let's just spend just a moment saying hello, welcoming you, introducing you to our folks here. So, Mark Madovan, Baptist Church pastor. Well, Locksheath Free Church, but you're Baptist, really.
It's a Baptist in denial.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's fine. We can get to grips with that. How long have you been in ministry now?
I was associate minister at Andover Baptist for 6 years, and then been at this present church just over 11. So that's just over 17 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and how's ministry going at the moment?
As always, good bits and tough bits.
Yeah. How's your little building project that you've got on?
Yeah, well, we're trying to have a quite a good sized church. Actually, our auditorium is smaller than this. We only seat 180, but our membership's at 270, and on a Sunday we'll probably get about 300, 350. So we multiple services and things, and then throughout the week a lot more come through our doors. So we're looking at trebling the size of our building. And it's only 4.2 million. You've got to say it fast.
Yeah, you've got to say it fast, yeah. I like to drop that one in because one day if I come to a church meeting and I say to our church folks, let's have this little building project. Anything less than that will feel really manageable, won't it?
It scares the living daylights out of us. So, but God seems to have been leading us to this point. And as every time God calls you to take a step of faith, there's going to be some real challenges along the way. And we're trying to listen to God and to manage that along the way. And the money is a big factor in it, but not the only factor.
Yeah. So. And if we scale that back down to our own present reality, when we come to our church meeting on Tuesday and look at our budget, if we hold that in mind, then everything will be fine.
Possibly.
Yeah, it will. Okay. And you're married, you've got children?
I am married to Kathy. I've been married for 22 years now. And I had to work that out. Yeah. And I've got two girls. I've got a 14-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old daughter. My 16-year-old wanted to come up and be part of us today. And then the extra incentive is her boyfriend lives in West Brom. So they were going to come and see. Someone cheered West Brom. That's really weird. Do you know our boyfriend? Is that something you want to say to me?
Yeah. It's not weird for people who live here, you know.
That's what. Cheer a boyfriend. How do they know?
No, cheer in West Brom.
Football, that's it. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. But she suddenly realized that she's teaching at our kids' work at our church today. So she was gutted that she couldn't be here. Partly because she couldn't meet you, but I think maybe a little bit because she couldn't meet her boyfriend. I'm not sure.
I thought it was because she wanted to come and help her dad.
Me too.
Yeah, because she's one of the people that helps you a lot in your life, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, yeah. My girls are as you may see, I got a white stick. I'm actually registered blind, so I have about 4% vision in good light. So I can't actually see any of your faces. So I've been told you're very attractive. Is that right?
Some of them, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So my kids have always grown up just helping and guiding along the way. So Graham, who's with me, he's one of the elders of Locksheath Free Church, but he also is a great help, and we do different things, and he helps me on a whole variety of things. If you went to the church weekend away, you'll know that Richard, the chap called Richard, came with us. He would have come up, but he's now working in Abu Dhabi, so he wasn't committed enough to come this morning.
Yeah.
And I did speak to him about that.
Yeah. But. Okay. Well, listen, it's a real blessing to have you here with us. Hopefully your screen will wake up again in a minute and then you'll be able to see what you're doing. So let me pray with you
and thank
God for your presence here with us. Lord, we thank you for Mark. Thank you for his ministry over many years in different places, but particularly at Locksheath. Father, thank you for the way that you are strengthening him and his team there. And Lord, we pray this morning that you will bless Mark through being with us, and that he will be a blessing to us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. So let me see if my skin wake up. That'd be helpful, wouldn't it? No, it's very... I'm going to have to preach just without notes. Is that...
That's scary.
It's very long when I preach without notes. So do you want me to try to get the notes to work? Get the screen working. I hear you say... It was great to spend some time with some of you. How many of you guys were at the church weekend away back in June? I don't need a show of hands because I can't see hands. I need a show of voices. So I've heard three of you there, which is great. That's good. And it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that time. And you guys were just fantastic to spend some time with and get to know some of you. Oh, my notes are back. That's great. And it's really good to come and see you guys in your natural habitat. You know, it's a bit like an Attenborough sort of time. I can see you in your building and things. And people are always different at their church building, aren't they, than they are on church weekends away. Have you noticed that? Because at church weekends away, you're more relaxed and you're a bit more cheeky and you're a bit more rude and you call out and you heckle and things like that. But in church, you never do that, do you? But you're allowed to, okay? You're allowed to talk. I do better because I can't see you very well. I do well when you talk back to me. And you laugh at when you're supposed to laugh and things like that. I find that's really helpful. And just for those of you who are real, any real pastoral people here, really caring? Some of you are worried I'm going to fall off the stage, aren't you?
You're very close to the front edge.
I know I'm very, in fact, I'm hanging over about 2 inches off the front edge. Because I can actually feel it. So that's why I don't fall off stages very often. But don't worry about that. So it's really a pleasure to come and to be able to share your anniversary. 348 years. That's a long time, isn't it? So 1666, I worked that out. Is that right? And there's massive changes you guys have seen. So we'll talk about that in a minute, maybe if we get to that point in my notes. Now, besides being very attractive, I hear that you guys are also very intelligent. Is that right? See, some of you are going, yeah, I don't know what my sources are, but they're good, I can tell. And I wonder if this has ever happened to you. I want to see if I make sure that my little zapper can work so that we can move along. That didn't work. So, there we go. Oops, too far. Let's go back. There we go. You're going to go back? Come on. You know you want to. There we are. Lovely. Has this ever happened to you? You've all played with computers, haven't you? Yeah. And have you been typing away and working merrily? Things you've done previously. It's not like you're doing a new thing. You're just doing a thing that you've done every day or checking your emails or whatever. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a error message. Has that ever happened? And you're going, what's happened there? So you sort of cancel it, and you're going, and then it pops up again. And then you go, this is a bit odd. So you think, I need to get this fixed. And you try something, and it gets worse. And then it gets, the thing freezes, and then it doesn't work. And you're going, this is really, really annoying, because it's getting worse and worse and worse. And then we do what I think all of us secretly believe, that computers have a voice-activated thing, don't we? Because how many of you speak to your computer? See, because you think it can, so you begin nicely, don't you? You go, oh, come on, fix. Come on, nice. And then the rhetoric sort of builds up, doesn't it? Until you're not, because you're obviously good Christian people, you don't swear at your computer, but you do Christian swearing at it, don't you? You Christian swear at your computer. And some of you are going, I wish I knew. What's Christian swearing? Well, do that. Come this evening and Paul will do a sermon on Christian swearing for you, okay? But have you ever just spent ages, I mean hours, trying to fix this stupid machine? Have you ever done that before? Yes. And you're really frustrated. You're going, I haven't done anything wrong. It's just come up. And then, just to rub salt into that wound, comes a little teenage twerp who says, can I help you? And you're going, this stupid machine. And in about 1 minute, they go, they are fixed. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
And doesn't joy come bursting out of your heart? and you're sort of wrestled with this thing where you have some understanding, but because of events, you suddenly realize that there's a whole lot more that you don't know. Now, some of you with computers, you go, absolutely, I don't know anything about these little boxes of devilry or wherever they are. And some of you are actually brilliant on computers, aren't you? And there's a word for you. It's called geek, okay? And if that is you, if you're going, that's never happened to me, any problem I can fix, you live in this land called geekdom, and just embrace it and be there. The rest of us normal people, we have limited understanding, and we realize that at some points we need these geeky people coming in. So we have a basic understanding, but there's more to understand. There's a whole world out there. Now, I think in lots of areas in life this happens. We have some understanding, but we suddenly encounter that there's more. So, for example, has anyone ever played this game? Have you ever played Jenga? Come on, move. No, come on, computer. Okay, Jenga, it will happen. I'm going to just ask my person on that. What's the name? Who's the computer man?
Craig.
Craig, can I ask you just to press buttons when I call you press buttons? Because I'm getting really fed up with that little button there. Okay, so Jenga. So has anyone played the Jenga game where you pull those little blocks out and you put them on top and then you put them on top and the higher it gets, the more wobbly it gets? Have you played that game? So you learn this basic principle that high and wobbly is bad. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a couple of years ago, my wife and I, we went to Chicago. And in Chicago, there's one of the tallest buildings in the world called the Sears Tower. And I've got some pictures of it. If you just click the next one, Craig, that'd be helpful. And it's high. It's quite high. It's 110 stories high, 443 meters high. It's almost a quarter of a mile high. That's quite high, isn't it? And it's a really amazing thing. You can see apparently three states, there's a picture in the top right corner, of how far you can see when you're up at the top there. Now, if you ever go to the top there, one weird sensation happens. The lift opens and it's all glassed in, so you're not getting blown off or anything. But you have this sensation that you're rocking. It feels like you're moving. And the reason it feels like you're moving is because you are actually moving. It was designed to wobble 6 inches either way. There's a 12-inch give in that building. And when you're there, you can actually feel the thing rocking. It is bizarre feeling. And we went up, besides my wife, another chap called Ian, which Graham will know, and he doesn't like heights. So that did not help him at all. I'm fine with heights. I thought it was quite funny myself, being a pastor heart. But it wobbles. Now, from Jenga we learn that high and wobbly is bad. But from this building we learn, if you click it on, Craig, is we have this, is that high and not wobbly is bad. Because if it didn't wobble, do you know what happens? It snaps. And it breaks. That's wrong. So our basic understanding is high and wobbly is good in Jenga. There's a further truth that high and wobbly is actually good. Another thing, I was in another trip to the States, and we went to the Colorado, and there's some beautiful mountains in Colorado. If you just click one, you'll see, I've got a picture of just some of the scenery around there. And it's a beautiful place, really recommend it. Now, I know that you guys are from up north, wherever, you're up north, and you get snow here a lot, is that right? Well, I'm the South Coast. But, okay, now you guys, you know that snow and heat don't go together, do they? Because when it gets really hot, what happens to the snow? It melts. So if you click again, we have this principle that says this, that heat and ice don't go well together. But look at this next picture I want to show you. Now this picture is my daughter's, that was a few years ago. We are standing on 6 foot of snow. And it's 25 degrees centigrade plus. 25. Look at the way they're in shorts and sandals. That's not because we're cruel parents, by the way, okay? And it's not because I wanted a sermon illustration. The reason is, it was 25 degrees, and yet we're standing on 6 foot of snow. We walked around a place called Bear Lake, and as we walked around it, we kept saying, this is weird. This is weird. We're walking, and there's a little bit of wood, and it was the top of a bench. It was so full of snow. Now, we all know that heat and ice don't go together. And yet, there's a greater truth here. There's some more to understand. Because if you compact enough of that cold stuff, it can resist 25 degrees heat for quite a few days, it actually could resist it, which is amazing. Okay, one other thing. I'm going to give an illustration for this. Now, gravity. You've all encountered gravity, is that right? You know what gravity does. You have a good understanding of gravity. So I've got a brick here. And if I drop this brick, what happens? It lands on my toe. I know I look dumb, but come on. I can stand back. What will happen to this brick? It will fall. Are you sure? Yep. And break your stage. Isn't that lovely? And my party gift. So did that surprise anybody? No, because we've all experienced, we all know this truth, it is that gravity is quite irresistible to most things, isn't it? The problem is, how do you then explain this picture? How do you explain that? Because, I mean, this thing is massive. I mean, the statistics are, it's about 232 feet long, 225 feet wide, it's 6 stories tall, it weighs 417,000 kilograms. And if you think that, let's stretch your brain out. One other picture. What about this picture here? This is even worse. Because you're going, who understands bricks? You know, you drop it goes down, doesn't it? That's what gravity does. And yet you see that, and there's clearly something more at play than just gravity, isn't there? Now some of you are going, I know exactly what it is, Mark. It's called the Bernoulli effect. And this is the formula. Some of you know the formula. If you just click there, Craig, that, you know that formula, don't you? I know some of you are going, yeah, I know that. It's so obvious. No. That apparently explains how air pressure goes on wings and it makes it go up. And bricks. Who understands bricks? Yeah. But what these things all show is that we can have an understanding, but there's more to understand. be clear again. I know for the past few weeks you've been looking through the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians is Paul wanting us to understand that there's more. In your church anniversary, it's a really great time to look back and to look forward. And I've been given this title of Plenty Past and More to Come. And we're going to be looking at the last couple of verses of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're going to look at that in a few moments' time. But I want to just ponder on this fantastic title of Plenty Past and More to Come. Because what it does is it's trying to push us to say, I know you understand some stuff. You guys understand some great things. You understand some great things in your faith and with church and with life. You understand lots. But I want to encourage us and challenge each of us that there's more that we need to understand. There's more that God wants you to understand. Now, the book of Ephesians, we looked, so I think probably two clicks now, Craig. What you've looked at, I haven't heard many of your sermons. I listened to Jean last week on her sermon, but I'm sure you've heard a whole bundle of things in the book of Ephesians. And what happens is Paul is, he's opening up, he's trying to pull back the curtain and says, guys, it's not that you're ignorant. What he's saying is, I know you know some, but I want you to know that there's more. So he begins in chapter 1 by saying that Jesus didn't just die and rose again. He didn't just give us some blessings. He secured every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. He's given us tons and tons and tons of blessing. I know you've encountered blessing, but there's so much more blessing. He then talks about in Ephesians 3, he says, I know you know God is a big God. I know you know that God can do great things, but did you know that God can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine? Not just a little bit, not just a big bit, but immeasurably. That gap between the brick and the 747 with the satellite thing on the back, God's power is way bigger than that gap between our understanding. Paul also is encouraging us when it comes to that we're called to be people who are children of the light. Saying, I know you know that we're called to live differently because of Christ and be different. But not just in church gatherings, but in every part of our lives. In our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, in our attitudes, in the way that we approach. Paul is saying, I want to draw back the curtain and encourage you to know there is more to understand. Last week, Gene was talking about and looked at the armor of God and saying some of those challenges that you face, they're not just life's tough, but understand there's a spiritual battle going on. Paul's saying, I want you to understand there's more. Now here's the thing. Most of us know there's more than what we understand. Most of us know that because most of us have flown on airplanes and most of us have dropped bricks as well. And we know that I don't fully understand how airplanes fly, but I know they can fly. I think when it comes to our Christian faith, sometimes we know that God can do immeasurably more. We know that God can do great things. But then we do the kid run and we get dinner sorted out and then we have to sort out this and sort out that. And this more that God wants us to encounter sort of settles back in our minds and we just go into tick over mode. Instead of understanding that there's a lot more ahead of us, that God has some great things that he wants us to encounter of his blessing, that God wants us to lean more into how incredible he is. And we settle back and just accept the level that we're on. And I want to challenge us all to be a people who don't just settle back. But we know there's more of God. And we want to lean in and find out and engage with there's more of God. Because God is a good God. And when you encounter more of God, you're encountering more good stuff of God. Now, I want to give an example of how sometimes we can forget this more thing, okay? So tell me, why don't you reflect on this past week? Has anyone really wound you up? Okay, you don't have to say it out loud yet, okay? I mean, you don't have to say it out loud. So it may be someone at work, or it may be someone at home, maybe someone you're married to, in fact, has anyone actually had a row this morning on the way to church? Okay, let me go. Have you ever had a row on the way to church? You've had, and then you come into church and you put your Christian smile on, don't you? I'm fine, you know, I know that. Do you want a handy tip of how to avoid that? Because my wife and I don't do that. We don't argue on Sunday. We don't argue. The way we don't argue, and I preach and Kathy leads worship and stuff, and we worked out the secret. Here's the secret tip of how not to argue on a Sunday morning. You ready for it? Don't speak to each other. And I'm not joking. I am dead serious. We can say good morning and do you want coffee? That's all we're allowed to say. Seriously, that's all we're allowed to say. But if you reflect back on your week, maybe even this morning, how many of you had a little bit of, you know, maybe someone cut you up in their car or something, and you're just going, that person's annoying. Has that ever happened to you? Ah, good. So you're not as good a Christian as you thought you were, were you? But that's happened. Okay. Now, Jean read some verses last week from Ephesians, and it's from Ephesians 6, verse 12, and it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Jean commented, saying that so often we forget that we are in a spiritual battle. So often we have people who cut us up, wind us up, and we get, and we forget that more that Paul has taught us. In fact, none of those verses, for many of us, those verses are very familiar. We know there's a spiritual battle, but we've disconnected. We've forgotten that has to do with me and my life and that person who wound me up. And Paul is saying, remember, look, our battle's not against flesh and blood. There's a bigger thing going on here. By the way, he's not saying that person is from the devil who wound you up, okay? He's not, that person who cut you up is not the devil in the car. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, understand there's more to understand. Understand that those things that wind you up, there's a spiritual dimension there. There's an enemy who's trying to get us off track. And these things he uses to distract us. We need to understand there's more. Now, I want to stretch your brains a little bit? If you have your Bibles, to open up to Ephesians 6, we're going to read those few verses at the end in a moment. So go to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. I have no idea what we're on. Craig, it says Ephesians at the top, and it has Ephesians 6:12, and then it has Ephesians 1 verse 3 under that. And it says this. It says, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Who could do with some more spiritual blessings in their life? Yeah, do you want some of those? Paul is saying, Jesus' death and resurrection, he secured every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing is yours. Many of us settle, well, I've got some and that's great and I'd love some more, but there's a disconnect. I can't stretch to that. And what Paul is saying, you need to understand that behind the curtain, there is more. That curtain of understanding, there is more. Every spiritual blessing is there. Now, here's your brain flick, okay? If you flick to Ephesians 6 verse 12, have your finger in both, and I want you to notice something. 1 verse 3 says every spiritual blessing is found in the heavenly realms. And then it says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but principalities and power. Where are the bad guys situated? In the heavenly realms. Did you ever realize that our complete blessing and the battle is in the exact same place? Have you ever noticed that? Fantastic. See, because if you don't notice that, what happens is you disconnect them and you're thinking, I need blessing, I'm a blessing. Oh, life's so tough and I need blessing. But Paul says, actually the place of toughness is the place where blessing is. Have you ever been in a really, really good time and God's doing some incredible blessing and then you bump into something difficult and it surprises us and it shouldn't surprise us because it's the same place. When you're feeling really disheartened and far away from God and God's saying, yeah, but that's actually where the blessings come in as well. So keep an eye open. Paul wants us to understand there's more to understand. Now, church anniversary. I know it's church anniversary, 1666. It's a long time. Some of you, I don't think anyone's an original member, I'm guessing. But that's a long heritage. And it's really good to stop and remember. As Paul was saying to the kids, it's good to remember and to celebrate. And I'm sure, I know many of you have been here for many years. I know that Keith, he was baptized here as a teenager. So that must have been in the many years ago. I'm blind, so over there, sorry. Okay. That's fine. So I'm not sure what century that was, but that's brilliant. But if you look at your history as a church, I'm sure there are some amazing times of God's blessing. Has there been some? And they're right to celebrate. They're really good. It's good to celebrate that Keith has arrived and joined the team. That's a fantastic thing. It's great appointing Paul about 3 or so years ago. There's some really good highlights. There's also been some tough times along the journey as well, hasn't there? And it's, we don't live in denial. We understand that actually it's in the same place that blessing and battles happen. And it's good to know, do you know, we're still together. God is still a witness through us in this group together. There's some really good things. But anniversaries are not just about looking back at what has happened. Because so many churches can fall into the trap of remember when. Do you remember when? The good old days. Anyone remember the good old days? The good old days when I was young. The good old days when the church had 6,000 people coming every morning. And it's good to celebrate those days. But what we do is we can easily settle back and forget that our God is a God who does immeasurably more. We forget that our God is a God who says, I want to give you every spiritual blessing. Not that I gave you every spiritual blessing, but I have for you every spiritual blessing. It's good and right to look back and celebrate those high points. But it's also essential for us to understand, do you know what? There's more. And our God is a great God, so there's more good things to come. God has some amazing plans for you as a church. And I can guarantee that. Do you know why I can guarantee that? Because our God is an amazing God. God has some amazing plans for you as an individual. Some of us have fallen into the place where we're going, do you know, my best years have been in the past. Maybe because of a health or a relationship or a job or something, we think in those were the good old days. And do you know what? There's more. There's more for us to grab hold of. There's more that God wants to give. Individually, as your small groups and your ministries, as a church, there are more. Yes, it's right to celebrate what God has done. But are you more excited about what's to come? Because our God can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. Our God has secured every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. And it's for you guys. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to wondering, to work out how does it mean to follow God, when it comes to as a community, in how do we become a witness in this community and be disciples, imitators of Christ, as Paul talks about, how do we keep our eyes on looking for more? And how do we avoid settling back? How do we avoid settling back from just, we'll just embrace those previous blessings. We'll just embrace those previous highlights. How do we ensure that we keep thanking God for what's been, but looking for the more to come? And this is where our reading comes in. I know some of you are going, are you actually ever going to do those readings, Mark? And yes, I am. I get to finish at 1, is that right? you think I'm joking. Okay. If you have your Bibles, open to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at those last few verses. And Paul sent me the breakdown of how you've been looking at the book of Ephesians. And right at the end of these few verses, verses 21 to 24. And in his little brief, he said, many people just skip over these verses, but there's some really key teaching points in those. And I'm going, really? And I did. I went, really? And then he said, and if you can link to the church anniversary as well, that'd be really good, Mark. But no pressure. Just do what you want. And I'm going, thank you, mate. But really? And but that great title of Plenty Past and More to Come is a really good title. Because I, to be honest, I think the last few verses from Paul are they're just a quick, I don't think Paul was meaning to give some big, deep teaching in these last few verses. I don't think he was. I think he's hinting at a few things that can help us, and I'm going to look at those in a second. But we need to understand that this book of Ephesians was Paul writing to the church in Ephesus and surrounding churches and generations, us as well. He's saying, guys, you've got some understanding, but there's more. I want to stretch you and challenge you to do more, to understand more, to keep growing, keep looking, keep doing lots of stuff. And then he winds up his letter. And he does this verse. In verse 21. Chikaias, my dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, he will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and how I'm doing. So, what is a hint that we get from Paul when it comes to keep looking and looking for more? And the first hint is this, is that we need to keep looking and listening. individually, in the ministries that you're involved with, small groups or home groups, whatever you title them, as a church, I want to encourage you that we need to keep looking and listening. Clearly, Paul knew that his letter was not exhaustive. It's not that you just need to read this book of Ephesians and you've got everything sorted out. He knew that there's some real truths in here, but we needed to keep looking and listening. That there's more. Many of us, especially of the older age group, and I'm getting close there, and we can fall into the trap of thinking, I know most of it already. When we look at Scripture, I know most of Scripture, because I've been looking at Scripture since I was a baby. I know a lot of Scripture. And it's very easy to say, well, I'm just going to rest on what I know already. And I want to just challenge you to keep looking and listening. What is God saying? What is God doing? I wonder, are you a person who's looking for what more God wants to do? Or are you a person who's a little bit more looking at all the things that God has done? It's great what God has done. But actually, what more has God has in store for us? If you want to do a little test on yourself, in the privacy of your own brain, if you are looking forward, what more of God, or are you hanging around the past? When you tell of stories of God's blessing, of God's greatness, of what God has done, how far back in your history do you have to point to? If you have to wade back to when I was a teenager, that's what I used to do. Then that's not a problem that you do that. But if all my stories are when I was a teenager and none of them are more current, then I need to ask myself, am I still looking and listening? I'm not wanting to tell you guys, please hear me right. I'm not telling you off, because I've been in times where I've had to just been slapped by God, and God saying, Mark, come on, look and listen. Keep studying, keep seeing. There's more of me. There's more of me. Did you know there's more of God? Maybe even we looked at those two verses in Ephesians. Some of you knew that every spiritual blessing and the battle was in the same arena. Some of you didn't realize that, and you need to think about that. Stretch. There's more. Keep looking. How do you look and listen? I mean, gather on a Sunday and hear folks who've studied a bit more. Not that I know more. I've just studied. That's the only reason I know more is because I've studied it. Some of you actually know way more than me in many, many areas. That's what small groups or home groups are. Is you talk about it and saying, what was he meaning there? How does that work out? Keep reading. Keep looking. Keep saying, God, you are a God who does immeasurably more new things. And I want to be open to some of the new things that you're doing, God. I don't just mean chasing after the new. I mean, keep looking and listening for what God's saying. Keep looking and listening for the whisper of God. Keep looking and listening. And guard ourselves against saying, oh, the good old days, back in 1664 when Keith was baptized, it was lovely. We need to keep looking. The next thing, Paul continues with his letter in verse 22. He says, I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he might encourage you. So keep looking and listening and keep encouraging each other. It is so powerful. The word encourage means to come alongside. In my previous church, I've already told you the name of my previous church, so I can get in trouble for this, but I won't say anyway. We're friends, aren't we? Yeah, if you said no, I'm going to go anyway. My previous church, when I was coming to the end of my time there, before I came to Lock Heath Free Church, one of the elders, he grabbed a coffee. And he said, he was just reflecting on the 6 years with them. And he said, Mark, do you know, he said, we purposely didn't encourage you because we didn't want you to get big-headed. Think about that for a minute. They purposely didn't encourage me because they didn't want me to get big-headed. And to me, I'm thinking that sheds a lot of light on things. Because that really reveals why I found so much things so blimmin' difficult. Because instead of going, we're beside you, Mark, come on, let's go and let's take that mountain, they're going, whoo, see, if I say go for it, mate, you're going to get big-headed. Encouragement, he missed what encouragement, biblical encouragement is come alongside. I'm sure you've seen Olympics and different athletic events, and even football, if anyone's into football, you see that when the crowd get behind their team, when the crowd gets behind an athlete, have you noticed how often they do better? Why is that? Because the athlete is thinking, they're beside me. mean, they're not physically beside running because they never keep up, will you? But you're going, come on, go for it, go for it, go for it. Paul is saying, I'm sending a guy, because you've read this, I'm sending someone so that he can encourage you to keep going, to know there is more, guys. There is more of God. There is more blessing. There is more challenges, but there's more of God's kingdom to come. Encourage one another. I wonder, in reflecting back, I wonder if there are some blessings of God that myself and our previous church didn't encounter because they didn't encourage. I wonder. Just as an athlete, many athletes who break world records is because the crowd they always go, the crowd were brilliant. Now some of us, the way we're wired, we're going, yeah, but you can't always encourage because sometimes it's not good, Mark. You can't encourage, you know, that person's rubbish. Keep going, you're rubbish. You know, do you ever feel that tension? And encouraging doesn't mean you're denying when things are wrong. It doesn't mean that. What it means is come alongside. How much time have I got? Because I got a story I can tell you. Where am I going? Do you mind if I go on a little bit longer? Okay. One of the guys, when I was at the same church, I was mentoring a young lad, and he was a teenager. He must have been about 15, 16. Very gifted, very talented. And I'm sure you've met people like that, yeah? Just incredibly talented. And with his talent came a bit of cockiness. So he was quite a cocky lad, but he had great heart, great. He was a brin. I was mentoring him. And other people, they knew that I was mentoring him, so they would give me lists of all the things he's done wrong. Seriously, I'd be getting lists of everything. He's done this wrong, and he's done that wrong, and he's done this wrong. And I'd go, yeah, thanks very much, and we carried on. After about 6 months or so, Andrew was his name. He's actually a Baptist minister now. Don't hold that against him, though, okay? That wasn't a fit. I would say, I gave Andrew lots of opportunities when I spoke at big events. He came in, he was my eyes and helped me, and we just talked a lot, and we worked a lot, and lots of opportunities. And Andrew came to me, and he said, Mark, I've got a tough thing to share with you. And I said, what's that, mate? And he goes, I thank you for all the opportunities you gave me. Really, thanks for that. He said, but I'm aware that people have given you lists, haven't they? And I went, yeah, they have. And he said, so why are you holding back on me? When are you going to dump all the stuff I'm doing wrong? When are you going to do that, Mark? And I said, I already have. And he's going, no, they're giving you a list of things I've done wrong. And I'm going, well, they're giving me things that probably need improvement. He said, well, when are we going to address those? I said, I've addressed every single one of them. And he goes, no, you haven't. I said, yes, I have. And he said, well, tell me. So I said, someone complained about that. And I said, we worked on that. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, and someone complained about that. And we worked on that. He said, oh, yeah. The thing is, none of us responds to a list of everything we do wrong, do we? None of us do. But when someone walking alongside you, who believes in you, who's cheering you on, goes, do you know, that's an interesting approach. Why don't you try doing it that way? And you go, oh, I'll try that. And you try it, and it goes well. And that's what I tried to do. Because I think that's what encouraging does. Encouragement isn't to take you down. Encourage is that you might do more. You might encourage your leaders to actually take bigger steps of faith. You encourage your ministers to preach more boldly in what they do. You encourage your small group leaders, your house group leaders, to delve into more intimacy and sharing that honesty along the way. You cheer on your kids workers. You cheer on those people who are serving. You cheer on people. When you encourage and stand alongside, whether you're going, that's brilliant, keep going, or maybe we should tweak that a little bit. Encouraging actually lifts our eyes. It pulls back the curtain and allows us to see more of God. Who likes to be encouraged? Does anyone not like being encouraged? Okay, so take that as a mandate now. Everyone just said, I like to be encouraging. You guys encourage them. You guys encourage them. And if you sort of covenant yourself to do that, I bet your church will change. Not that your church is rubbish or anything like that. It will change. Why? Because you will see more of God. You will see more of God. If you just take it, I'm going to be an encouraging person. I'm going to encourage and encourage and encourage and encourage every single time. And I think Paul was just saying, if you want to see more of God, pull back the curtain of understanding, experience more of God, you need to keep looking and listening and keep encouraging. Last point. I know time's moved on a bit. The verse continues. He says this in verse 23 and 24. He says, peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So keep looking and listening, keep encouraging, keep focused on Jesus. A number of years ago, my family went to the theater. And anyone, look, do you have good theaters around here? I mean, we went to the Mayflower in Southampton. It's a big, old, very grand theater where, you know, you sit up in the gods, you get nosebleeds. That's how high. It's one of those really big ones. And we were sat up in the gods because those are cheaper seats. We got there quite early because we tend to do that. And the orchestra were playing away. And what many of us do. We don't admit it, but you know when you arrive early and you're a bit bored, you eavesdrop, don't you? Do you do that? Do you eavesdrop conversations? You know, when you're with your family and that conversation is quite boring, you eavesdrop, don't you? Have I just confessed something really bad here? But you eavesdrop and you hear other people's conversations. And there's a couple behind me and they were having quite a heated discussion. I mean, they were really getting agitated, and it was fascinating because they're going, well, I don't think so. And I'm going, what's the issue? And they're saying, when are they going to move the instruments? And I'm going, what are they talking about? I said, and surely there's going to be not enough room there. They're going to be in the way of everybody, aren't they? And no, of course they are. They'll do it in a minute. Don't rush them. They'll do it. And the conversation went on. And they were really... And I was thinking, what in the world are they talking about? And then I worked it out. The orchestra were playing in the pit. They didn't realize that the orchestra stayed in the pit. No, seriously. I mean, they were seeing... And then they thought, do you know that little bit of stage in front of the curtains? They thought that was the stage. I mean, they thought that was all of the stage. And I'm thinking, wow, wait till those curtains go back. They're going to get their heads blown off, aren't they? But they were really intense. And because they were so focused on how the band and the thing, and they're going to put the instruments on that front little bit and the actors going on. And I'm going, guys, the curtains are going to pull back and your brain's going to just go meltdown. It was such a shock. I'm thinking, surely you must know that that's the case. But the way their intensive conversation, they really, it did not come into any of the conversation that they knew there was a massive stage behind. Seriously. And many of you are going, I couldn't believe the conversation I was overhearing. And I wanted to butt in and going, guys, do you realize? But that would have been rude. Eavesdropping isn't rude, butting in is rude. So I've been brought up well. Now many of us find that a bit shocking, a bit weird, but do you know, I think in church we often do that. I think in church we often do it. We have heated discussions about, where are the musicians going to be? When are they going to move there? What music are they using? What color is the curtain? What's the position of the chairs? What actually version of the Bible are you going to use? What versions of songs are you going to use? Where is your communion table, by the way? You know, is that a sacred object? Where do the flowers go? And I'm not saying that those things don't matter. Please hear me. I'm not saying those things don't matter. But what I want to say to you is remember, when the curtains draw back, that's where the action is. And do you know who's center stage? It's Jesus. The reason we gather, the reason we're going to eat a lovely roast meal in a minute, the reason we're celebrating isn't because we have a lovely building that's been managed really well. It is a lovely building and it has been managed well, but it's because Jesus is the center. We need to keep saying, does it honor Jesus? Does it honor Jesus? Does it honor Jesus? I think many a time I've seen in churches, I've seen in my own life, when I think the curtains have drawn back and I'm just too worried about other things to even realize that the show started. That God wants to do something magnificent right in the midst of us, but we are still too annoyed because that light bulb hasn't been changed yet. Would someone do that light bulb? I don't know your church enough, so if I'm stepping on your toes, deal with it. I don't know. Paul hasn't told me. If we want to see more of God, because there's a lot more to come, if we want to see more, we need to keep looking and listening. We need to keep encouraging others. For when we encourage one another, we strive to see more. And keep focused on Jesus. So when those curtains twitch of what God wants to do, that you don't miss out on it. Have you settled back? Or are you ready? for the more that's to come. Because it's immeasurably more. Because that's our God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you are not a limited quantity of God. That the best hasn't been, apart from Jesus, he is the best. But there are greater things that you have in store for us as individuals. You have great things for us as families. You have great things for us as a church. Father, you still have great things. Father, we do celebrate the things that you have done. But Father, I want to just acknowledge that you have secured in Jesus every spiritual blessing. I also want to just acknowledge that you can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Father, I pray that you will release a bigger imagination upon this church, because you're bigger than that. Father, I pray that we will have our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. We'll be encouraging and keep our eyes fixed on you, ready to see the more. Father, give us the courage to challenge when we're focusing on you. Give us the faith to step forward so that you may do greater things. But Father, I want to pray a blessing on this church family. I thank you for the witness in this area, but I pray the witness won't just be a building. The witness will be children of light shining and pointing to Jesus. Amen.
Do you know that immeasurably more? There's only one way that we'll reach that, and it's just how Mark was encouraging us there, focused on Jesus, Jesus first every time. The one thing necessary is that our vision is fixed on Jesus, isn't it? It's not about my agenda, it's not about Keith's agenda or new things he might bring to church over the time that we're here together, but this is God's vision that we're seeking. Amen?
Amen.
We're doing that together. We're doing that as we keep on looking and listening. We're doing that as we keep on encouraging each other. We're doing that as we keep focused on Jesus. And we do that as we sing our final hymn together now. Lord, be my vision in everything. Let's stand together and worship God in this way.